Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Hey friends, welcome. My name is Pastor Harold. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 2, verses 18 through 28, and we'll also read chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We're going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So pull up your YouVersion Bible app or get out your actual tangible copy of the Bible. I love to make these noises when we're reading the Bible. And we're going to get into the Gospel of Mark. This first little subtitle that we're reading today is called A Discussion About Fasting. And so here we go. Let's dive into God's word. Once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wineskins and new wine call for new wineskins." This next section is titled A Discussion About the Sabbath. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days that Abiathar was the high priest, and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." This next section is subtitled Jesus Heals on the Sabbath, and we're only going to read verses 1 through 6, but here we go. Jesus went into the synagogue, again noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." And then he turned to his critics and he asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil?" But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to them, "Hold out your hands." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. May God bless your hearing, your understanding, and application of Scripture. Welcome, friends, to the book of Mark. That's the title of our new message series. So it's going to go for 8 weeks. We're in week 3 of that. And the subtitle is called The Way. And we're going to do a deep dive going through the Gospel of Mark to see what we can uncover, discover, and discard about ourselves as kingdom followers, as Jesus followers, but also truth that we need to really bestow and extract from the Word of God. We are a Jesus-centered community that meets in House Springs, Missouri. And we're getting ready to plant a new church. And we're going to be planting that church over in Eureka, Missouri. And the anticipated date of launch is April the 6th, 2025. So we're right in this transition period. And so there'll be weeks when we just black out. We don't do anything. We have a recorded message like this. pre-record a message, and then we're going to go make site visits to other churches and be newcomers. We're going to be newcomers in churches, go in and see what's going on, see how we get treated, see how we experience things, so we can absorb all that and we can bring that into our own context. So when we launch very contemporary, very relevant to today's times, and we learn from our fellow community of believers all around us into how to deliver the message with depth and weight, but also with that it's relevant and it's contemporary in today's culture and time. The message doesn't change, but how we deliver it definitely has to change, especially in the times that we're in. But we're glad you're with us on this movement. If you'd like to join us, you know, just get on our app, send us a message. We'd love to connect with you and put you into the newsletter so you can just follow along. You can support us, however, even from a distance, because we have people from Texas and the Dakotas and out on the East Coast, all over the place, that are supporting us, not only with their finances, but also with their time and their talents by just supporting all the things we're doing, definitely from a digital marketing standpoint, a website design, and just being getting ready to host when we go live stream, you know, being a part of the live stream message, but also creating house churches in the communities they live in based on our teachings and everything else that we're doing. And so you can be a part of that. And if you'd be interested in starting a house church where you're at based off our teachings and a partnership, becoming a transformer, as we like to call it, we would love to meet with you and have that discussion. So reach out to us. Our contact information will be in the body of this message today. So you can reach out to us, introduce yourself. We'd love to have a conversation. We'll set up a Zoom meeting, meet, talk, and see how we can help you take the next steps on your spiritual journey. But anyway, let's dive into today's message. I just want to recap the last few weeks. Week one, we started, Mark's gospel starts right off with a story about John the Baptist, a pretty common story. Most people know that story. John is preaching forgiveness of sins, repentance, and the future announcement of the King of Kings, the Jesus himself is coming. And a man so powerful that he's not even worthy to tie his own sandals, right? This is how big a deal Jesus is to John. And John's never even met Jesus other than in the womb when he meets Jesus in his mother's tummy and Jesus in his mama's tummy. They have that connection, that spirit connects them there. And they're connected spiritually all along, of course, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But in this particular case, this is his first time meeting. And he's telling the Pharisees, this is going to happen. This is why I'm doing it. They're questioning everything he's doing. He's telling them, this is why I'm doing it. I baptize in water, but the one who's coming is going to baptize in spirit. And so that's what happens. So that's that opening chapter, really dives into that. And then Jesus comes and he's baptized by John, which starts his public ministry, and off he goes, right? Week two, we dove into a message and we really talked about what it means to love everybody, even the unlovable. That was the title of the message, right? Love everybody, even the unlovable. Because Jesus introduces that to us, and it's a powerful statement, right? He introduces, he carries on the gospel of forgiveness and repentance, but he also introduces the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus spoke more about the kingdom of God than anything else. And so he really starts to open this message up, right? And he emphasizes the community, and he emphasizes the relationships, because human beings, we crave relationships. We were created for relationships. So people go to great lengths to be in relationships and have friendships. And we talked all about that last week. And you can get those messages on our app or on our website and dive into those. It's just the audio only, but that's all you need. Any references to videos or anything that we've shown during the service, you'll find the links to those in the show notes. You can click on those and check out that. We have all the notes in our app, so you can go right to our app and look at the show notes for those particular messages. But today we're diving into what Jesus means by worship and what it means to worship God. And Jesus is God, right? That's the difference between religion and grace. That's what Jesus is. He's the difference. He's the difference maker. He's the way maker. And that's the title of the message, is the way. One of the saddest features of Jesus's life is that religious opposition that he encountered. It broke his heart, right? He encountered it. Nothing can be more wicked and cruel than religion without Jesus. And boy, I run into that all the time. I experienced it myself, but I go into places I don't want to end up every week. I'm in the treatment centers, I'm in the prisons, and have been for over 30 years. So I spend a lot of time with people that are very broken. And in those broken people's hearts, a lot of it was due to you know, what they experience in religion. And again, it can be very wicked. It can be very cruel. And looking at this battle between Jesus and the Pharisees, we learn a very particular important distinction between what Jesus is and what religion is, right? Religion is humanity's attempt to reach God. Jesus is an attempt to reach humanity. Let me say that again. Religion is humanity's attempt to reach God. And Jesus is God's attempt to reach humanity. Religion is works. Jesus is grace. Amen? Again, religious is works and Jesus is grace. Religion is membership. Jesus is relationship. A person can have religion and not have salvation. I call it zap theology, and I run into it all the time. People go to services. They ask anybody who wants to know the Lord, give their life to the Lord. People raise their hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. They may even get baptized. They've probably been sprinkled. They've probably been soaked. They've probably been dunked. They've been everything. But they're still a mess because they never fully experience salvation. And salvation is a past, present, and future experience. And we're not diving into that today, but it is. And so if you don't have that Holy Spirit inside you, you don't have this life transforming spirit and energy going on in your life, and your life looks the same as it always has, but you claim to be following Jesus, there's a huge disconnect there, and you really need to get in tune with that. And that's a lot of the reason why Jesus came, is to fix this separation, because ultimately that's what we have. We have a separation problem. Religious people fasted back in those days. When we're this first part of the gospel, we're talking about Mark's gospel in chapter 2, right? And they would either have, and they did it primarily for what reason? To draw attention to themselves. They wanted to either have people to pity them, or they wanted them to idolize them. And rarely was it a form of worship to God. It was just really an exterior exposition to get people to look at them. Look at me, and then respect me, and do what I tell you when it comes to religion. Jesus gives us three illustrations in today's gospel, right, in this first part, about what it means to worship, and that worship is a celebration. It's not a pity party, right? Amen? Worshiping Jesus, when rightly understood, is truly a celebration. We meet to celebrate the risen Christ, period. We're not living in the day of mourning, but rejoicing, friends. Amen? Christianity is not a sob story. It's a praise song. Man, and we love to sing praise songs. We got a great praise band in our church. And Christianity is personal, right? It's a joyous relationship with Jesus Christ, who is God, by the way. He also proves that he's the full essence of God, and that religious laws and traditions don't apply to the great I am. He definitely makes that clear. And this is the difference between religion and Jesus. Religion is a state of being inhabited by rules, but Jesus is being inhabited by a redeemer. The Lord's Day is not a burden, but a blessing, an opportunity to rest, enjoy refreshment, experience love and service and worship. That's what it's all about. In this second section that I want to dive into, we're into Mark's gospel, right? We're in the gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 3 now in this story. And this is all about reframing who Jesus is. And this is really important to take. It's not an abstraction. So many times we're talking about God and we're talking about an abstraction. We're talking about Jesus, the person, the incarnate. If there had been a newspaper back in the day, and you call it the Bethlehem Times, or you call it the Jerusalem Herald, whatever you want to call it, the headlines would have captured Jesus, if it was done rightly. His most powerful teachings and miracles would have been recorded. All in the first half of Mark, we see these teachings, these powerful miracles being displayed. And it would have read something like, Superstars performs unbelievable miracles. But the headlines of the second half of Mark would have been strikingly different, right? They would have highlighted the shocking horror of the events that they describe in those chapters. And it might have read something like this: a former hero arrested, tortured, and executed. Right? And that's what we see. Jesus repeatedly predicts that he will suffer. And then Mark's gospel describes it. Describes everything that happens. His trial, his beating, his crucifixion, and eventually his death. So how does the local hero, end up suffering, weak, and dead? It's a great question. And what appears to be Jesus' weakest moment is his most powerful. And that's really the case for all of us, right? So many of us come to the Lord after we're broken, whether it's through addiction, alcoholism, bankruptcy, financial ruin, a broken marriage, a broken home, whatever. This is typically how we find our way here. But what Jesus did, the dying of humanity was his ultimate expression of love. And that's what he gave us. So it was counterintuitive to anything that the religious elite of his day would have thought of, right? Mark affirmed this spiritual authority and the power present in Jesus' ministry. Jesus properly interpreted Mosaic law. Nobody ever pushed him back on that. They questioned him. They tried to question him on it. And he spun circles around him every single time. His power was greater than the evil spirits. We see that all through his gospel. This passage also revealed Jesus' ministry to call his spiritual brothers and sisters to do the will of God. Quit living for your own self-interest, right? Quit doing that and live for God's ambitions. That's what we're called to do in this life. That's it. And that's what's meant to happen. But yet, it's easy not to do, right? It's easy not to do that in today's times. It's easy in this very self-centered, individualistic culture we live in just to live for ourselves. And that's what we get brought out into time and time and time again. Jesus demonstrated remarkable patience with people, right? Through many questioned his authority, he patiently refuted them. When his immediate family, his own family, thought he was nuts, right? They thought he was a lunatic. He expanded his concept of family to include the kinship of people who love God, you and me, brothers and sisters. Anybody who was all about God was part of his family, period. And if you weren't about God, you weren't part of his family. So here's a question for you, and it's a really important question when it comes to Mark's gospel. Have you ever been in love with Jesus? Maybe you are right now. Maybe you thought you were when you were a child or a youth. Maybe when you were at youth camp or growing up. But seriously, have you ever been in love with Jesus? And I'm not talking about referring to God as an abstraction. I'm talking about Jesus, the incarnate Jesus. Fully God, fully human, but the full essence of God, the great I am, right here with us, living and breathing and walking amongst us. Have you ever done that? Can you remember that experience? And a better question is, are you still in love with him? Remember Jesus. Before you remember anything else, remember him. It's so important. If you forget anything, don't forget him. That's ultimately the bottom line. But how quickly we forget, right? So much happened over the years. So many changes within. So many alterations without, right? They go on. And somewhere back there, we leave him. Whether we go off to college and the secularism of school gets a hold of us and we just bail out, or we have our first evolution class and get sideways with that. But we don't want to turn away from him. We just don't take him with us, right? We want to still be a believer. We still want to wear the necklace. We still want to listen to the music. We still want Christmas and Easter to be a big deal. But we don't take him with us through our life's trials and low spots, for sure. Assignments come, promotions come, budgets are made, kids are born, and Christ, the Savior of the world, quickly forgotten. Has it been a while since you stared into heaven in a speechless amazement? I mean, just like an awe. I mean, really, just sit out there with the stars and the crickets in the background, the whippoorwills, depending on where you're at, and just listen and be in amazement, be in awe. Has it been a while since you realized God's divinity with all your calamity inside your life? Because I get these questions all the time. If it has, then you need to know something. He is still here. Amen. That is the good news. It's not just good news. It's the best news ever. He hasn't left. Under all those papers, under all those books, under all those reports, and all after all these years, and with all these voices and faces and memories and pictures you've experienced, he's still here, friends. Have you forgotten Jesus? Has your love for him slipped away from you? Over time, let Christ renew your love and let it flow freely again as it once did. Or maybe it's the first time ever. But wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, we want to meet you there. But I can promise you, I gave my life to Christ when I was 21 years old, and it changed my life. And it didn't happen in one big cataclysmic explosion, because I had a lot of doubts. I had a lot of hurts. I had a lot of habits and hang-ups and questions and all kinds of junk that separated me from God and separated me from you. And I had to work through those. And over time, with a mentor and people that have walked this journey with me shoulder to shoulder, and they helped me rediscover life, they truly helped me to start loving God and loving my neighbors myself, right? And that is the ultimate payoff. We get this whole new shift. We go from a taker to a giver. And that's what's got to happen if you're going to follow Jesus. It's not just a public proclamation out of your mouth. I love Jesus. I give my life to Jesus. your life needs to reflect it in every aspect of your life. So it means you got to die to your own self-interest. This is the gospel of the kingdom, and live for something bigger than yourself, God's ambitions. And when you do that long enough, you're going to have this shift. You're going to experience this shift from a taker to a giver, and you're going to finally know what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what God promises you. And when you get into that realm, the world of the spirit, everything changes. New relationships come, your outlook on life changes, and you experience life in a total different venue. And it's amazing. So you have to learn to live a life of humility, self-sacrifice, other-centeredness, and learning to love everybody, including your enemies. And what a great time to practice that during this election season. So wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, we'd love to meet you where you're at and help you take the next steps. But with that, let's pray. Hey, Lord, thank you for your message today. Thank you for the Gospel of Mark. Thank you for the life of Jesus and his willingness to give up his life for our life. It's the ultimate expression of love. We take it for granted. We say we love Jesus, but then we leave him at home when we go away and we get in on with life and we become the God of our own lives. And you're asking us to die that we have to die that if we're going to really be happy, joyous, and free in this life, we have to come to the end of ourselves. And we have to start living for your ambitions. And when we do that, when we stick close to you and perform your work well, when we live a life of love and service, then all kinds of promises and miracles happen in our life. And it becomes the best life ever. Not just for eternity, but here right now. But also for eternity, for life ever after. To be in the kingdom, to be in paradise. So Lord, we pray for that. We pray for that for ourselves, but we pray for that for everybody, all people. And we just want to be an instrument to help bring them to you, but not just bring them to you, but help walk with them so they can experience a Jesus-centered life. Help us to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray it, and we pray it boldly in your Son's name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, friends. See you next week. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformerlife.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.